All right, so we're holding on Samach Gimel on the Bay's top line. We said in the Mishnah there's this concept called Vest Haguf, where a woman feels certain physical symptoms shortly before or at the time that she has her period. We'll actually see in the next Mishnah and Gemara on it, so about the possibilities with that. So we gave a bunch of examples. For example, we said, for example, the Mishnah had said, the Faheket, which would mean either that she stretches or yawns, so she sneezes or snaps gas, etc. And he said, another example, the Mishnah said, was a chumitzma mordechola. That, for example, she has shivers or goosebumps or something. And the Mishnah said, v'chein tayyotze behem, and similarly, other kinds of things are also a vestibule. So the question is, v'chein tayyotze behem la'asuyamai, so what are those words, v'chein tayyotze behem, other similar things, what does that come to include? Amar Rabba Bar Ola, La'asuya, it comes to include a case where Isha should roisha covered aleha, ve'ivareh kvedim aleha. For example, a woman whose head feels heavy, or whose limbs feel heavy, in other words, that she has headaches or muscle aches or whatever. Some of the posts can say, we're not just talking about plain old headaches, we're talking about like really severe headaches or whatever. Ve'ra'iseses, or for example, that she trembles or shivers. Ve'goisa, or goisa. Goisa, there's a lot of different explanations among the Rishonim and what it means. It means yawning, it means burping, it means feeling pain in her hips, it means being nauseous. There's a half a dozen different explanations. What it means, in any case, you know, like we said yesterday, there's not really much of a difference. La halacha, any of these things would be a vest. Okay. No, it's mamoris is either shaking or goosebumps, or hair standing on end, whatever. Means that her limbs feel heavy. She's got muscle pains, whatever. Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya says in the name of Shmuel like this. Harei Amru. Now, we know the Chachamim said later on, Liyamin Shnayim, when it comes to vestas that depend on a certain number of days, then two times is enough to establish a vest. Now, we'll see actually later on that that's not so simple. We have Rebbe versus Rav Shimon Gamliel, but there is the basic concept that at least as far as, for example, let's say that she has her period, let's say, every 20 days or whatever, that two times is enough to establish that. Levestus achas, on the other hand, when it comes to these vestus aguf of the kind that we were describing in the Mishnah, various physical symptoms, achas, then one time, she has one time. Again, we're not just talking about that she has, let's say she yawns one time and then has her period. We're talking about that she has an attack of yawning or an attack of burping or whatever. So achas the one. And he continues, as far as things that the Chachamim did not list, then you need three times in order to establish it. So we have to figure, L'mashal Manu Chachamim La'asu Yamai. What are we including by this phrase, the things that the Chachamim did not list? Shmuel is saying, I heard from my Rebbein that you have three different categories. You have days, where you need two times to establish it. You have physical symptoms, we need one time, and you have things that the Chachamim didn't list, which you need three times. So what is that coming to include? La'asuya mai. Omer of Yosef, la'asuya. It comes to include what we just mentioned. Rosh HaChavid Aleha, for example, where her head feels heavy. Ve'vareha Kvedin Aleha, or her limbs feel heavy. Ve'rekseses, or she's trembling. Ve'goisa, or she's burping or nauseous or what have you. Omer le'abaya. So in that case, Abaya says, to Rav Yosef, my Kamash Malon. In that case, then what is Shmuel's Chiddush by mentioning that, saying that he needs three times? Masnissin. Then that's already implied in our Mishnah. Da Porsha Rabba Bar Ula. Because after all, Rabba Bar Ula explains that when the Mishnah said, V'chein Kayotze Behen, we said that includes these kinds of physical symptoms, like headaches or what have you. So we see that they're already implied in the Mishnah. So what is Shmuel adding? So once Rabba Bar Ula explained that the Mishnah is including those kinds of symptoms, then automatically it's not things that Shaloi Manu Chachamim, it's not things that are not listed by Chachamim anymore. They weren't listed explicitly, but they're listed implicitly. Ela Omer Abaya said, no, Abaya says there's a different explanation. La'asuye comes to include Ochel Shum Verasa, Va'ochel B'Tzolim Verasa, For example, let's say she ate garlic and then she had a ri'ah, or she ate onions and had a ri'ah, or kasa sapshopal and marasa, or she chewed peppercorns and had a ri'ah. The reason why, by the way, with garlic and then onions, it uses the word akhla, is because those are things that a person might normally eat. They're sharp foods, but a person might eat garlic by itself or onions by itself, as opposed to it's not normal to eat peppercorns by themselves. So therefore, the expression for it is kasasa, which means literally that she chews, because it's not something you normally eat by yourself.
Why are they eating by themselves? You don't have money? They're so poor?
It could be because she's poor. It could be because she likes the taste. I don't know. Whatever, you know, different people have different tastes. Whatever it is, let's say that she ate one of these things and had her eat. So therefore, the Abaye is saying that must be what Shmuel's rule is coming to include. So unlike the things in the Mishnah, which don't depend on her actions, she has in a pack of yawning or stretching or burping or what have you, which that's just it's a symptom that comes of its own in her body, as opposed to these things are something where she did, and then the sharpness of the food brought on the bleeding. So then we're saying that, so then Shmuel's rule was saying that you need three times in order for that to be a ria. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch that Amar brings that we're not talking about. It doesn't even have to be necessarily, at least according to some opinions, that she ate the same food every time. Even if it was different food, they all have this in common, that they're all sharp, they're all hot foods, then they can all have the same effect.
In other words, the food for the best as opposed to She felt at that time that she wanted to have the food to...
I guess that's a good point, actually. I guess if she had a craving for them, then maybe it's different. But no, here we're talking about the sam. She ate them, and then, yeah. So the Torah just actually distinguishes over here. We learned that in the first parak. We had a case over there where a woman repeatedly jumps at different times, and then each time afterwards she has bleeding. The difference is, Torah just explains, and this is their shita over there also, that those things you can't establish a vest for jumping by itself. It would have to be that she jumped on certain days, and then that resulted in bleeding. If it's just some random, every time she jumps and she bleeds, then that wouldn't be considered a vest. As opposed to, Torah just says, here, when we're talking about, let's say, eating onions or garlic or what have you, that alone could be a vest, but it needs to be three times. Okay. Amr of Yosef lo shneili hoshmaita. So Rav Yosef says, I never heard this statement. We've had this before, that when Rav Yehuda is saying something in the name of Shmuel, Rav Yehuda was Rav Yosef's Rebbe. So sometimes Rav Yosef is surprised that he doesn't know that he heard it. I mean, I was Rav Yehuda's Talmud. I should have expected to hear everything from him. We have, of course, many times that Rav Yosef became sick and forgot his learnings. And then therefore, so sometimes he would say this, meaning, you know, I don't understand why I don't remember this. Abaye tells him, Ach Amrit Nialon, yes, actually, you did tell it to us back before you got sick. You told us this statement of Shmuel related to the following thing, related to what we're going to have in the Mishnah at the bottom of the office. Suppose you have a woman who regularly sees blood on the 15th day. We learned earlier in the Masechta, by the way, the 15th day doesn't necessarily mean the 15th day of the month, although according to most of the Rishonim it could. It means actually 15 days since she went to the mikveh, we said, which meant 22 days since the beginning of her last period, because you may need to last for 7 days, so 7 plus 15 is 22. So if she regularly sees on the 15th day from when she went to the mitzvah, the shin siliyem esrim, and then one time she changes it, and instead she has the flow on the 20th day, the next month, both the 15th and the 20th day, she's going to be also to her husband. The 15th because she has a vest kavua, and the 20th because it happened one time and it might be the beginning of a pattern. Shalosh pomim liyom esrim, but the Mishnah continued, if three times her pattern changed and now she's always seeing blood on the 20th and not on the 15th anymore, chutu yom chamisha also, then the 15th becomes mutter, the kavul liyom esrim, and now instead she has a new kavus for the 20th day, because the rule is she'ein isha kevas lavest, because in order to have a vest kavua, it has to be that it was established three times. So only once three times you've had 20 at 20 days, then it becomes a vest. The Amrit Lonala, Sabaya, says to Rabbi Yosef, now you told us regarding this, in connection with this Mishnah, you told us that Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Zu Dibi, Rabbi Gamliel, Barebi, Sha'amr Mishum Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel always says that you need three times for a chazaka. Throughout Shas, whenever we have a chazaka, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel always says you need three times, as opposed to Rebbe usually says that we need only twice. Av or Chachamim, then but the Chachamim say that no, Rasa, if she has a flow on a different day, on the 20th instead of the 15th, for example, then the Chachamim say she doesn't need to have it two or three times. The fact that she had it one time on the 20th is enough to make it a best of the I think. There aminam lach. So then we talmidim, says Abaye to the Yosef, we said to you, l'shanis amrit lan l'sholosh mizaya. Why do the Chachamim have to use the expression, you don't need l'shanis or l'shalosh? If they're saying you don't even need to do it two times, of course you don't have to do it three times because you can't get three without two. So why do they bother mentioning l'shalosh? Let them just say enetzur chalol l'shanos. The amrit lan, and you, Rabbi Yosef, answered us l'shanos v'vestis l'shalosh v'yam. Because actually, what the Chachamim are saying is there's a difference between a vest based on a number of days versus a vest based on physical symptoms versus a vest based on number of days. When it comes to a vest based on physical symptoms, Rav Shimon Gamliel would say you need only twice. And when it comes to a vest with an interval of days, then you need at least three times. So the Chachamim are saying that when the Chachamim are saying you don't need two or three, they're saying regardless whether we're talking about a vest haguf or regardless whether we're talking about a vest of days, either way, you don't need two or three times respectively. You only need one day. So the question is, so that's what it is. So that's why, in that connection, Shmuel mentioned this idea that sometimes you need two and sometimes you need three. And that would be a coincidence of Shimon Gamliel. The question is, why did Shmuel then say the actual statement? The name is Zudigrit of Shimon Gamliel. So why didn't we just say that this is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel? The question is, on the last thing, when we said Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, this is the opinion of Rav Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, who says in the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel, his grandfather, why bother saying that? Just say, Zu Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Just say, this is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. We know he's the one throughout Shas who holds that you need three times for a chazaka. So why bother mentioning Rav Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, at all? The answer is Hok, Mashmal, and Shmuel. The answer is Shmuel wants to inform us exactly that. That as a matter of fact, you should be aware that Rav Gamliel B'Rebbe holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel in this regard. So you have Rav Shimon Gamliel holds one way, his son Rebbe holds a different way, and his son Rav Gamliel B'Rebbe holds like his grandfather and against his father. Yes, I mean you're allowed to maybe not you can't directly tell him what you're saying is incorrect, but yeah, I mean you find many places in Shas, you find examples that Amram also writes in at least one that Amram writes in a certain place, I think in connection with Hilchos Treifas, that Amram writes on a certain din. My father is one of the ones who says it's Osir, and I'm one of the ones who say it's Mutter. So yes, you have such things. It could be also, I mean, it could be that Shmuel wanted to point that out, because as it is, we have very few things in Shas that Rav Gamliel B'Rebbe said. We have a Mishnah from him in Pirkei Avos. We have this halacha over here. We have a couple of things from him scattered throughout Shas, but not really very much. So maybe just Shmuel wanted to, preserve anything that Rav Gamliel B'Rebbe actually said. The bottom line halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel in this, so you do need three times, and we actually don't make that distinction between vest haguf and vest hayamim or whatever. We always say you need three times. With that said, we're going to talk about in the Gemara on some Dalet of an Aleph that maybe for certain kinds of patterns you need four times, because maybe the first one in the list doesn't count as part of the pattern yet. So we'll get to that later on. Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of vestis aguf, where a woman feels these physical symptoms and then starts bleeding. So now there's two possibilities. You could have where, for example, that you could have that, for example, as soon as the headache comes or whatever symptom it is, right then the blood is going to start coming off. So some women are like that. And you have some where it comes, if she has a, she's going to have a headache or whatever for a period of time, let's say for an hour or whatever. And at the end of that hour, the blood can be expected to come. So
it could be at night and then
go back. Yes. So, so if her usual habit is that she sees the blood at the beginning of the vestus, so like as soon as the yawning or headaches or whatever come, right away then the blood starts coming. So then, well then, any taris that she prepares during the time of the vest, let's say while she's having these headaches or whatever, are going to be tummy, because the chazaka is then that the blood, and therefore the chazaka is that the blood that the blood started coming as soon as the headaches came. The soifa vestus, on the other hand, if she's the type of woman where first she has these symptoms for a while and then only after a while does the blood start coming, then kolataris she'asa v'seicha vestus taharis. Then any taris that she prepared, any food of taris that she prepared during the vestus will remain tahor, because when she started having the headaches or whatever, then at that point it is her body is not the type where the blood necessarily started coming yet. Rav Yossi omer ach yamin v'shoyes vestus. Rav Yossi says, you also have a concept of vestus that involves days and hours. We'll see in the Gemara what he means by that exactly. So if she regularly only bleeds, for example, when sunrise comes, then she only becomes aser to her husband only when netzachama comes, but not any time before that. The whole night before that, she would still be mutter to her husband. Rashi also points out, based on what we'll see in the Gemara, that Rav Yossi would also say, if Nesachama came and there was no blood, then she's also still tahor to her husband after that. Because her usual thing is that she only has it at Nesachama, neither before nor after. So therefore, once Nesachama passed and nothing happened, she did a bedikah and found it clean, then she's mutter to her husband. Rav Yehuda, in the Kol HaYom Shalah, Rav Yehuda says that no, she's mutter that entire day, but not the night before. So in this case, for example, she would be also the whole night before, as we'll see in the Gemara, but she'll be mutter during the day after that. Fine. Netzachama comes, she didn't have any bleeding, she did a bedikka, found that she was tahor, then fine, the rest of the day she remains mutter to her husband. The Ravid actually learns that Rabbi Yehuda is not completely disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi. He does agree with this basic concept that there can be a vest that's based on a time of day. He's just arguing on the fine details of it. What the Ravid means by that, by the way, you have Rishonim who argue within what the Ravid means. Does he mean, for example, that it would have to be for example, is it possible to have a vest based only on time of day? Let's say Netzachama, but not also a certain number of days. So if you have, let's say, for example, you have a woman who has a period, let's say, every 30 days at her Netzachama, so would we say that every Netzachama she has to be choshesh that she might have had bleeding, or is it only on the 30 days at her Netzachama? Machlokes was showing on that. Okay. So Tana, we learn in a Braita. Kate said, Amar Rav Yossi, Yomim B'Shoyes Vestus. What does Rav Yossi mean when he says that you can have Vestus based on days and hours? For example, Hosa L'mud Elias Roya Miyem Esrim Miyem Esrim. Suppose that she regularly has her period on the 20th day, and again, the 20th day would mean since she went to the mikveh, which is altogether 27 days since the beginning of her previous cycle, U'mishesh Shoyes L'shesh Shoyes, and each time it's at exactly 6 hours into the day, meaning Chatzos Hayom, then he gear you an estrin below the also. So now if the 20th day comes and she has not yet had a flow of blood beginning from the morning or beginning from the night before, Asura Lashamish called Shay Shows to Rishon is Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say that she's also to have relations during the first 6 hours of the day, because any time during those 6 hours the blood could start coming. Rabbi Yossi Matar on Shay Shows. Rabbi Yossi would say that no, she's mutter until 6 hours come, until Chatzos comes. Once 6 hours come, then she has to be choshesh, because that's her regular time, and therefore she would have to do a bedikah, Avru sheish shos v'leirasa, continues Rav Yossi. Suppose that 6 hours have passed. Oh no, this is actually also Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Ogur Shesh Shoes Filerasa. Suppose that the 6th hour passed and she has not yet had her Iyah. Asura Lashamesh Kolayan Kolay Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will still say that she's also to have relations the whole rest of that day, because as we're going to see soon, Rabbi Yehuda holds that she has to be restricted from her husband for a full oina. According to the vast majority of Rishonim, an oina is 12 hours. The Ozerua, you have a famous thing, the oina Ozerua, he holds 24 hours, although a number of the later Rishonim and Achronim say that there doesn't seem to be it's hard to find a solid basis for the Ozerua's opinion. But according to everybody else, an oina is a 12-hour, an oina is a day or a night. So actually, within that, you have a machlokes. You have machlokes also. You have some poskim who say that an oina is always 12 hours, regardless of the actual length of the day or night, that time of year. But according to the majority of poskim, no, an oina is from the beginning. Let's say, for example, the day oina begins at Netzachama and ends at Shkia, and the night oina begins at Shkia and ends at Netzachama. Anyway, so again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you have this woman who regularly has her period on the 20th day, 6 hours into the day, meaning at Chatzai. So if the 6 hour has passed and she hasn't yet had her Iyah, Asur l'shamish kolayim kolay divir Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is still going to say that she's not allowed to have relations for the rest of that day because it's still within the oina. Again, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that for one entire oina, which according to most poskim is the entire daytime period in this case, she's also to have relations. But Rabbi Yossi matir, and I'm in Chol Amayla. Rabbi Yossi will be matir her from Mincha time and all, and on. Mincha time, usually we have, you have two Mincha. You have Mincha Gdola and Mincha Tana. Usually a Mincha Gdola and Mincha Tana. Rashi explains it's neither of them. It's actually from Chassoit and onward. Because from what it is from Chatzos and onward, on that day, Chatzos Hayyot. Chatzos Hayyot. So we're talking about a woman who has a regular thing, that her usual period is on the 20th day at 6 hours in the day at Chatzos. So let's take, for example, today, Chatzos here in New York City happens to be 11:56. Okay. So let's say, so Rabbi Yossi would say that once 11:56 has passed, then she's mutter. If she does a bedikah and finds that it's clean, then she's mutter, because he doesn't hold this concept of an oina. And the point is, now, Tosfos says, when it comes to mincha, we actually say you have to wait an extra half shalas manis after that. So therefore, for example, what do you have? Today, earliest mincha is 12:20 p.m. Well, you have to allow an extra amount of time. But the reason is, Tosfos says, because when it comes to davening mincha, it's hard to technically you could daven mincha from Chatzos onward. The problem is it's hard to tell if in the middle of the day the shadows change position only very slowly. It takes a half hour, a half a shazmanis, whatever, after Chatzos for the change in the position of the sun's shadow to be noticeable. Especially the Gemara points out in Yuma that the walls of the Beis Mikdash weren't even completely plumb. They were a little bit wider. They were a little bit wider on the bottom than on the top. You see nowadays, by the way, when you visit the coast, though, you can find that it's a little bit offset as it goes upwards for stability. So therefore, it would take a half hour after Chatzos for the difference in the shadow to be noticeable. But in principle, Mincha time begins right after Chatzos, in theory. And therefore, when it comes to this din, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that we don't have to wait that half hour. We know she has a regular practice that she always, whenever her Re'iyah comes, always at Chatzos. Therefore, as soon as Chatzos has passed, she does the bedikah, she's clean, then Rabbi Yossi says she's good. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hoysa Lamuda, that if her regular practice was that she always has her Re'iyah at Netzachama, so then Rabbi Yossi had said in the Mishnah that she's only offer to her husband at Netzachama, she's mutter the entire night before it. And Rabbi Yehuda had said that she is mutter that whole day, but implying that she's also the night before. So the question is, Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda and Makol Alayla Shala. We learn in a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that she's mutter the entire night before. So what is it? Is she mutter during the night or is she mutter during the day? He's obviously holding of the concept of an oina. So what do we mean? The answer is Loikasha Hodur Gila Liris Chilas Yamama Vahodur Gila Liris the Sof Leoya. One case is talking about when we say that she has her flow at Netzachama. Netzachama is a point in time. So what is it? Is she having it right after Netzachama, at the beginning of the day, as right after the sun is over the horizon, or at the end of the night, right before the sun rises?
Before
Netzah, right before Netzah, right after Netzah, in other words, right. So the Mishnah is talking about where she said that she has it im ha-Netzachama, but what it actually means is like a minute or two before Netzachama, when it's still dark outside. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that she's also during that entire night, because the oina during which she has her flow is part of the night oina. Therefore, he says the entire night oina is also. The Braisa, meanwhile, is talking about where her regular thing is to have the flow right after Netzachama, right after the sun has come up over the horizon. Well, then, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the oina in which her flow takes place is the day oina, and therefore the entire day oina is also.
One second, the Nes changes with the year.
It does.
How can you say it's the same point in time when Nes varies?
It varies on our clocks, but it varies on our clocks. But in those times they didn't have clocks, right? So they actually schedule, because you have shorter days and longer days. But nevertheless, you can have a woman who, for whatever physiological reasons, it happens that you have, for example, you have people.
6 o'clock in summer, and
I understand, but nevertheless, the fact is, you have people whose bodies are affected by sunlight in different ways. So this particular woman might be that her body is thus affected that Netzachama, or right before Netzachama, or whatever, triggers changes in her body. Okay. I mean, we're going to have later on, we're going to talk about justice that depend on days of the month, where actually you have Rishonim, we don't even hold to that concept, because they say, how is it, what's the logic, how can the physiology of her body have anything to do with the days of the month? We actually had the Gemara seem to imply that. Earlier, we had a discussion about a woman who gave birth, about the ninth month, about the beginning of the ninth month, and does it depend on Rosh Chodesh or not? And the Gemara said, what do you mean? You can't very well have the definition of when Rosh Chodesh is should change something in her body. But the vast majority of the Shonim and Achronim don't agree with that. They say maybe you can't find medically a physiological reason why it should be, but nevertheless, the Ves HaChodesh, as it's called, where it depends on a certain day of the month, or a certain pattern of days in the month, is considered a valid one halacha. We'll talk about that later on, some valid or not. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So that's that, in other words. So again, Rabbi Yehuda is holding that whichever oina the re'iyah takes place in is the oina when she's off limits to her husband. And therefore, it depends. If it happens at the very end of the night oina, then the entire night oina is the one where she is the one where they have to separate. And if it happens at the very beginning of the day oina, then the day oina is the one where you have to separate. This is why when we keep our calendars nowadays, when we or our wives, whoever is responsible for keeping the calendar in the family, you'll have that it'll note on the calendar when the beginning of the day oina is, when the beginning of the night oina is, because it's important to know, first of all, as far as calculating the actual event, whether it's a Ves Tavua or not, but also because actually what you have is, even let's say, and I think we're going to discuss this later, that even if, for example, let's say you have a woman who regularly has her flow, let's say every time 20 days since she last went to the mikveh, but if sometimes during the night and sometimes during the day, that doesn't constitute a Ves Tavua. It's always on the 20th day, doesn't matter. It has to be always the 20th day during the night, or at least three times, or always the 20th day during the day. During the day or night.
So
night
is defined after Chatzos.
No, so for this purpose, the night is defined as from Shkia until next to the following morning, and the day is defined as from next until Shkia. So it's relevant as far as calculating the best. It's also relevant to calculate when the husband and wife are off limits to each other, because again, same idea. If you have that the expected next best is during the daytime oina, then the day is when they have to separate. If it's during the nighttime oina, then the night is when they have to separate. I mentioned just before you walked in, the Ozarua, one of the Rishonim, says that actually the separation period would have to be 24 hours regardless. He holds that an oina is 24 hours. Most of the other Rishonim and Achronim disagree with him, and they say there doesn't seem to be a solid basis for that. Okay, anyway.
So the halacha is 12.
The halacha is 12, although you have some people, Amachmer, like the Ozarua, and do 24. Yeah. Okay. There is actually a difference in that regard between the Oina Beninus and the other ones. Oh, it's not getting to that. Okay, fine. So, Tony Chodder continues the Braisa. Now, we have two Braises like this that seem to contradict each other. One Braisa says, when you hold your Oistra listed Nisne Vesta or Material Acha Vesta, one Braisa says that Yehuda says she's also before her regular time to have bleeding, But he says she's mutter after it, provided, of course, she does a bedikah and finds a clean. The Tanya idach osra l'acha vesta, machir olifnei vesta. The other one says the other way around. She's also after the time of the vesta, mutter before it. So what is it? The Leikasha. So again, it's not a contradiction because it's talking about the same distinction as we just said. Hodur regilah l'mechid soifleia. One is where she regularly has the flow at the end of the night. So then before it, meaning the entire night, she's osur. But after it, as soon as next comes, then she's mutter because it's already a different aina. And the other one is talking about where her regular habit is to have her flow at the beginning of the day, right after the sun comes up over the horizon, then it's the other way around. Then before it, she's mutter, because before it is the night oina, and that's not the time when she's yet regular to see blood, and the daytime oina would be the one. Omar Rabba Halacha Kirab Yehuda. So Rabba says in this connection, the Halacha is like a Yehuda, and therefore that we do after her during the entire oina, the day or the night oina, as the case may be. So the question is, did Rava really say that? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says at the end of parashas, near the end of parashas in the Torah, it says v'hizartem es bnei Yisrael mitum asam. It says you should separate the Jewish people from their trauma. And Rashi points out the next a couple of sukkim later, it mentions among these types of trauma a woman who's nidya. Nikan Amar Rav Yirmiya. So based on this, Rav Yirmiya said, Azharul of Nei Yisrael, Shenifushu Min Shesein Samuch Lebeston. From here, we have a warning to the Jewish people, to Jewish men, that they should separate from their wives close to the time of their death. The Kama Amar Rava Oina. And how much is that? Rava says it means one Oina, they have to separate. So my love Oina Achriti. Wouldn't that mean an extra Oina? In other words, that so Rava is saying the halacha is like a behoda. So let's say you have, again, in the scenario we had at the beginning of the Gemara, that let's say, in the bride at the beginning of the Gemara, so let's say she regularly has her flow at Chatzos Hayom, so the behoda is going to stay the whole day she's also. But now that we're saying that she has to separate an oina, somoch levestan, it sounds like that means an extra oina before that, the entire night oina before that. So what are you telling me the halacha is like a behoda, that she's only also from Nefahama and on? It sounds like he's saying the night before also. Yeah. The answer is loy, oisa oina. No, Rava is saying that it means that very same oina. That very same oina of the daytime, whichever it is, day or night as the case may be, but not one before it. So the question is, okay, then why does Rava have to say the same thing twice? First he's saying the halacha is the oina. Now he's saying that you need to separate for an oina. That amounts to the same thing. The answer is tzricha. We still need Rava's true statement. The iash in and ha, because if you only have one of them, hava mina hanimul lataris, if you only have the statement, the halacha kerev Yehuda, you would say, you know what you mean, halacha kerev Yehuda is regarding taris, that we're going to say that because she regularly has her flow at chatzos, then we're going to say any taris that she prepared from that morning are going to be tumble. But not necessarily would we answer her to her husband as of netachama, which is 6 hours before she's expected to have the flow. And therefore, Rava has to tell us, in connection with the pasuk, the zaytumis, the meisir over tumasam, which is talking about the dinim between husband and wife, that yes, he has to separate for that entire life. You would say that when do we say halacha kerev Yehuda means as far as tamis. So if you have a woman who regularly has her flow at chatzos, for example, chatzos again, she would say, okay, from that morning, she should not be preparing tamis. Halacha kerev Yehuda that she has to stay away from, but not necessarily for her husband. Avol abayel loy kamash malon. Therefore, Rava also tells us in connection with the zaytum of the nation. Why not? We had at the beginning of the sefer. We had cases where we said the whole concept that we said the whole concept that we said the kiddul of kiddur whatever applies as far as taris. We don't restrict her from her husband 24 hours before. Right? And we don't say, for example, let's say she doesn't have a vest tavua. We said we don't say, for example, that if she and her husband have relation and then within 24 hours after that she becomes nidda, we're not going to say that retroactively her husband is considered a boiled nidda, Ms. Thomas. So we do make that distinction. Yeah.
Well, we do make that distinction for the bar.
Right. So over here, we might have thought that Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the halacha is... Well, that's the point. Rava is telling us that the Gemara is telling us that Rava needs to say both statements. You would have thought that maybe when he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi would say again, because she usually has her flow at chatzos, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold the whole concept of oina. So therefore, he would say that up until Chatzos, she's not only mutter to her husband, but even allowed to prepare food of Taurus. Only once it comes Chatzos does she have to stay away from the Taurus until she does a Bedikah. Rabbi Yehuda is saying the entire day, but maybe only as far as Taurus, not necessarily as far as relations with her husband. Kamash Malon, therefore, Rava wants to tell us that. The Imeahi, but if we only had the thing with the Hizartim as Bnei Yisrael Mutumatam, that she's also to her husband for an entire Oina, then you would think, like the Gemara mistakenly thought a couple of lines ago, that Rava means to restrict her for an extra Oina. So again, in this case, for example, she'd be also not only doing the day Oina, because the day Oina is when she usually bleeds, but also during the night Oina before. Kamash Malon, Oisa Oina. Therefore, Rava tells us, Allah is Zakabi Hoda, who says only that Oina, but not any Oina before. The Imeahi, if we only had the Vizartimus Bnei Israel, if we had only said Vizartimus Bnei Israel, that you have to separate for an owner, you would think it means an extra owner.
Why would you think
that? Because you would have thought, because that's what we thought, when with the Makshin and the Gemara thought, that when Robert said owner, he thought, we thought it meant owner Achriti, and we said no, Oisa owner. You would have thought that Robert is saying you have to separate for an extra owner. The Makshin and Achriti, yeah, my love, owner Achriti, yeah, a couple of lines earlier. And the answer was loy oisa oina. So if we didn't have the statement halacha could be heard, we would indeed misinterpret Rava and think that he's saying that you need oina. Okay.
So we need
that. Okay. Mishnah says, you have a woman who regularly has her flow on the 15th. And we learned earlier in the Masechta that the 15th means 15 days since she went to the mikvah. So 22 days since the beginning of her current cycle. Then instead she changed and this time she has a flow on the 20th. The din is that is after in the following month she's also both the 15th and the 20th. The 15th because she has a rest kavua and the 20th because it happened one time and it may be the beginning of a new rest kavua.
So she has 3 or 4 different days.
So then she has to stay away from her husband on all of them. And by the way, you have a lot of machlokas on various details of this. For example, we have a question. Here we're giving an example where the cycle lengthens. What happens if the cycle shortens? Does it also cancel the previous cycle or not? You have a major machloket a question about that. Okay, anyway. Shinsa pamayim liyemchof. What if 2 times she changed and the second time also it takes place on the 20th day? Also zevaz asurin. Also still the 15th and 20th are both asur. The 15th is still a vest kavua. It hasn't been uprooted 3 times. And the 20th because it may be a new
pattern. In other words, if both become the 20th or the 15th becomes the 20th and the 20th stays the 20th.
One second. Shinsa dimo pamayim liyemchof. If a 3rd time she also changes and it ends up being on the 20th, huter tetzvav v'kabal liyemchof. Now, from now on, the 15th day after she goes to the mikveh will be mutter because it's been uprooted 3 times. The kavala yom chof, now she has a new pattern where every time, the 20th day since she went to the mikveh, she'll be also to her husband. She ain't isha kevas for vest adjusting upon him. The general rule is that a woman establishes a vest only when she establishes it 3 times. The ain't mitaheres min a vest adjusting men a gim upon him. And to uproot a vest, you also need 3 times, that are canceled. And by the way, for example, when Shulchan Aruch talks about, imagine she had a regular pattern every time, the 20th day, for example. Then let's say she had in subsequent months, 1 time 22 days and 1 time 25 days and 1 time 27 days or whatever. What it means is we don't say that she has no new pattern. Now she's back to not having a vest kavua. We say the 20th has been uprooted. You don't need it uprooted 3 times using the same number. But it has to be that it was uprooted 3 times, and because you didn't have the same number 3 times, and you don't have any kind of pattern, then therefore the result is she has no vest kavua now at all.
She doesn't
have a vest kavua at all.
The previous one was still taken away.
So the previous one is taken away, but she hasn't established a new one.
So what is it then?
So then what it is then you have the concept that she will have to, each month, she will have to be choshesh for the day of the month of the previous one, the length of the cycle of the previous one, which is called vest kavua. So yeah, Vest HaChodesh, which is the day of the month, Vest HaFloga, which is the length of the cycle, and also Ona Beninus, which is 30 days since the last cycle, because that's the length of the cycle for the majority of women.
So give us an example.
So let's say you have, nowadays, most women don't have a vest before. So let's say you had a woman who, 1 month had her flow, let's say on the 10th of the month. So what happens is she doesn't yet have a vest kavua. So let's say actually she had on the 10th of the month, and let's say the next month she had it, let's say, on the 13th. And now what happens is, the next month after that, she's going to have to be choshish for the 13th. She doesn't have to be choshish for the 10th, because you need three times to be kaveh. And like this, she only had once. She does have to be choshish for the 13th. She also needs to be choshish for 30 days.
Why are you doing it the other way around?
Because it's 13. Because
the first time is the 10th. The second time is the 13th. The one you should
because
be
the 10th,
both days.
No, because the 10th wasn't nikbat three times. You're only with kaveah one time. One time is not enough to be kaveah. So therefore, so you don't have a pattern. Once the 10th came, again, if you have that, let's say she started on the 8th and it's still continuing on the 10th, then you have the poskim, what happened exactly. Let's say the 10th came, nothing happened, there's no bleeding at all, and now the next month the 13th comes and it starts. Then, so she doesn't need to be choshish for the 10th, but she does need to be choshish for the 13th, the following month. She also needs to be choshish for 30 days since the 13th, which may or may not be the same day, because of course it depends whether it's 29. That's called, the first one is called Vesta Chodesh,
the day of the month.
The second one is called Oina Beinonis, which is 30 days.
Okay.
Again, you have an opinion. You have the Chavos Das who holds it should actually be the 31st day, but the majority of hosts don't hold like him. But anyway, of course, the 30th day may or may not be the 13th for the next month. Depends if it's a 29 or 30-day month. And you also have, she also needs to be choshish for the haslaga, for the interval between one time and the next. And there you have a machlokes between the Alter Rebbe and most of the other poskim, how we calculate that interval, that haslaga. Between the 10th, 1 month, and the 13th, the next. Most of the poskim hold that you calculate from the beginning of one to the beginning of the next. So let's say, for example, she had the first one on the 10th of the month in the morning. Then she had the next one, let's say, the 13th of the month also in the morning. So you have the total amount of time between them is 33 days. Let's say it was a 30-day month, so you have 66 onus. So most of the poskim will say you calculate 66 onus from the daytime of the 13th. And that brings you, let's say, to the daytime of the 16th, the following month. The Alter Rebbe holds that you have to go from the end of the previous flow to the beginning of the next flow, which means the Alter Rebbe would say, if let's say, for example, the first time that she had her flow on the 10th, let's say it lasted for 2 days, the 10th, let's say the 10th
morning,
and she started the 10th in the morning, let's say. Then let's say it continued only the 10th and the 11th, let's say. So that, and let's say, for example, on the 11th, she's already able to do a Hesed Tara. Okay, in principle, she can't, because you need to wait 5 days, but okay, let's not get into that, whatever. The point is, in principle, as of the 11th, she stopped bleeding, and then she knows that she stopped bleeding. Then the Alter Rebbe would say, you calculate the number of onos from the night of the 12th until the day of the 13th. And then let's say the following month, her flow lasts 3 days, then the Alter Rebbe would say you have to delay the haflaga by one more day compared to all the other poskim. So you have to count from the end of one flow to the beginning of the next. So we hold like the Alter Rebbe. Most of the other poskim disagree with him, although you have a chronim who say that nevertheless, if possible, you should be choshish for the Alter Rebbe.
So we hold
from the end of one flow to the beginning of the next. And most everybody else holds you go from the beginning of one to the beginning of the next. Meaning, according to everybody else, the actual length of the flow doesn't make a difference. And according to the Alter Rebbe, it makes a difference. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. We have a discussion like this. Suppose you have a situation. Suppose a woman has a flow on the 15th day of 1 month. The Yom Tes Zayin L'Chodesh there, then the 16th of the next month, the Yom Shiva also L'Chodesh there, and then she has on the 17th of the month after that. Is that enough to make a pattern where now she has a Vest Kavua, where every day it's going to be, every month it's going to be 1 day later? So, Rav Oma Kavala Vest L'Dilug. So Rav says, yes, now she has what's called a Vest Hadilug. So therefore, So let's say the first one was the 15th of Tishrei, the second one was the 16th of Cheshvan, 17th of Kislev. And by the way, the fact that the months are different lengths doesn't matter. According to the majority of poskim, it doesn't matter. So it shouldn't, but nevertheless, it doesn't. Nevertheless, it doesn't. Now, we only do it with Hebrew months. We don't do it with English months. If she has, let's say, a pattern, 15th of January, 16th of February, 17th of March, that wouldn't create a pattern in the halacha. But if it goes according to the Jewish month, then yes. So anyway, so Rav says, now that you have 15th of Tishrei, 16th of Cheshvan, 17th of Kislev, that's enough. So now, therefore, automatically, she's also on the 18th of Tevis. She has to check herself on the 18th of Tevis and the 19th of Shvat and so forth. Shmuel says that's not enough. You need to have that the jumping has happened three times. In other words, Shmuel would say the first one that happened on the 15th of Tishrei doesn't count because that one didn't follow an interval. So you need three intervals. You need the interval of a day and a month to the 16th of Cheshvan, another one to the 17th of Kislev, another one to the 18th of Tevis. Only then do we have a pattern, and now she's going to be, and now she has a Vet Tavor for the 19th of Shabbat.
And we said, what?
So Rav said, you don't need that. Rav said, all you need is three times. Shmuel says, you need the patterns, you need the jumping, the dilug, to repeat three times.
So the first one
doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
So you need from the first to the second, from the first to the second, from the second to the third, from the third to the fourth.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, name a Rav or Shmuel before the Rebbe, but of Shimon Gamliel coming to be. Should we have to say that Rav and Shmuel are actually arguing on the same machloikas as Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, which we've learned about before, the Tanya, Nisus Lerushit Umes, we learned in the Yevamos, and we've learned this concept sporadically in different places, that suppose a woman married one man and then he died, Lasheni Umes, and then she married another man and he also died, so then she's called a Kaslonis, where there's a Chazaka that her husband died as a result of being married to her. So Rebbe says at that point she should not marry a third man, says Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel says she can get married a third time, only if her third husband dies should she not marry a fourth one. So then, in other words, Rebbe holds, as a general concept, that you only need two times for a chazaka, and Reb Shimon on the old, you need three. So apparently Rav and Shmuel seem to be arguing on that point. Rav is saying that you need three re'ias, which with two intervals between them, which would be like Rebbe. Shmuel is saying you need four re'ias with three intervals between them, which would be like Reb Shimon on the old.
How can we extend to that?
Because once we have this concept that they hold, respectively, of chazaka. It's not, but nevertheless, you still have fine. But the Vestis is also, there's an opinion that Vestis did a bottom. But it's not most. You know, many folks can say Vestis did a bottom, but that's not the point. The point is that Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel have this general argument. The example we have is in the case of Kaflamis, but it comes up in other cases. You have, let's say, for example, another example is a family where they did Bris Milas for their sons and they died from hemophilia or whatever. So two times, it's a machlokes, whether two or three times, there's enough. Rebbe says two, Reb Shimon Gamliel says three. You have an ox gourd, you need two or three times to make it a mord, et cetera, many, many cases. So in that case, it sounds like they're arguing on the same point as Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. The answer is loy, not necessarily. To call it out Reb Shimon Gamliel, maybe both of them agree with Reb Shimon Gamliel, but hocha b'hocha mitzvah. Rather than a chloik between Rav and Shmuel is on another point. Rav sava chamisha osim minyan. Rav holds the 15th counts as one of the three times, because you have 15, 16, 17, so there's your pattern. Ushmuel Sava, where Shmuel says, like we said before, given the law of the Dilug Chazisei, since the 15th did not follow an interval like that of a month and a day, Lav Miminyanahu, so you can't count it. So they would both agree, in other words, with Reb Shimon Gamliel, that you need three times. But the question is, do we need three years or three intervals?
Right.
Three events or three intervals, exactly right. Because Rav is saying, once you have 15, 16, and 17, then that's enough. You have a pattern. You have a vestibule. Whereas Shmuel is saying, no, you also need the 18th, the following month. Incidentally, by the way, there's an interesting point that the postkin discussed. What about, are we talking, is it only a valid vesta dilug if it's only by one day each time? What if, for example, it's the 15th of the one month, the 17th of the next month, the 19th of the next month, et cetera? Would that create a pattern? What if it goes backwards? What if it's
2 days?
Yeah, 2 days. Or what if it goes backwards? What if it's 15 of one month, 14 of maybe not. What if it's 15 of one month, 14 of one, which is the Gemara is mentioning over here, the specifically the case, because you could argue maybe that only you can't argue that any kind of pattern. I mean, listen, you know, you could ask a statistician, you could find a pattern in anything, right? But you know, there's only certain patterns that are considered patterns in halacha. Okay, so you have an argument about that. Okay.
What about 3 days?
Also, yeah. Okay. Basically, I think Moses has that he, okay. So Shmuel says to Rav, I have a contradiction against you. You're telling me that you need only three re'ias. But we learned, we have a bright. The hoysel mudr lias roya yod tesvav. You have a woman who regularly has her re'ia on the 15th. The shinsel yem shishal. Then 1 month instead, she had it on the 6th 15th. We said, like similar to what we said in the Mishnah, Zev is Asurin. Both the 15th and the 16th are also. The 15th could still consider a Vest Kavua. And the 16th, because it happened one time and it might be the beginning of a new pattern. Shin Saliyam Shiva also. If the next month instead she has on the 17th, Huter Shisha also, then the 16th is Mutter, because it only happened one time, and one time is not enough to make a clear. The next, the Hamisha also, the Shiva also. The 15th and the 17th are the ones also the following month. The 15th for still the Vest Kavua. The 17th for the possible new Vest Kavua. Shin Saliyam Shmoina also. If the next month instead she has her flow on the 18th, Hutru Kolon, all of the previous days, the 15th, 16th, and 17th, all become mutter, and now only the 18th, because again, like we said before, now she doesn't have a vest kavua anymore. The ein also ela mishmona also ve'elach. She's only also from the 18th and onward. So you see from that, in other words, that so kasha l'rav. So it's a question on Rav. We see from here that you need to have that she had regularly on the 15th, and we're saying you need 16 and 17 and 18 to cancel it. So that would be similar to what Shmuel says, that you need 15, 16, 17, 18. How does it fit according to Rav? Rav says all you need 15, 16, 17 is enough.
Rav says what?
Rav said 15, 16, 17 is enough. She has a re'iyah the 15th of one month, the 16th of the next, 17th of the next. Rav is saying that's good enough.
And
Shmuel would say you need the 18th as well to have a pattern. So the bride says, because the interval is right. The answer is, Amalach Rav Lemuda Shiny. The answer is, Rav would say, yes, but it's a different case where she had a regular vest kavua on the 15th. So therefore, the 15th does combine together with the previous ones. So you, in other words, Rav would say, you're thinking, you, Shmuel, who are asking the question, are assuming that we're supposed to be considering the 15th not as the continuation of the old pattern from before, which is the 15th of every month, but rather as the beginning of a new pattern, 15, 16, 17, 18, and therefore you're asking, so you see from the bright, you need the 18th, but no, in this case, the 15th already belongs to a pattern that existed before that, the 15th of every month. So then, yeah, of course, you only need three times to be over that. So the Gemara says, ka'ori law my ka'ori law. Okay, why did Shmuel even bother asking the question? Isn't it obvious that there's a difference between Lemuda and not? Isn't it obvious that there's a difference whether we're starting a new pattern that doesn't have any relationship with any previous pattern, which is Rav and Shmuel's argument, versus the Brice that we just quoted, where the 15th belongs to an existing pattern? The answer is, he would say, Lemuda is Tzrichalei. He would say, yes, but there's still a Chiddush in the fact that she had a regular pattern before that, that she had a regular pattern before that on the 15th. Maud came, you would have thought, without the Brisa, given the Lemuda, since she already has an established pattern of the 15th of every month, Va'akarti betrayzi me, and it was uprooted even twice already is enough, maybe Okrele, maybe that's enough to be Okrele. In other words, maybe we would, maybe in other words, once we had two times that it wasn't on the 15th, we should expect she's not going to go back to her original pattern of 15th. And therefore, maybe we should say that already she was Okrele, Kamash Malon. Therefore, the Braita is telling us that no, a Vest Kavua needs three times to be Okrele.
So you need two times to establish a new one? And
no, 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 no. Rebbe at holds you need two times. If Shimon Gamliel holds you need three, and the halacha is like a Shimon Gamliel.
Okay.
So, in general, as far as this whole question of whether two or three times is a hazaka, the Gemara mentions in some other places, I believe in Yavamas, that it actually depends whether we're talking about a matter of danger to life or not. If we're talking about, for example, in the case of a kaplanis, or in the case of children with bris mila, then we go like Rebbe and say two times is enough. But when it comes to other areas in halacha, for example, over here in Vestas, then we say three times.
Okay, so you say two times for a new one.
For a new one, and to be that's the point. We would have thought without the Braisa that if she already has an existing established one of 15, and she was ochre twice, maybe twice is already enough to be ochre. Yeah. But no, we're saying you need three times. That's why you need the 16 to 17 minutes. But not
saying that you need three times.
You need three times to be oyster. But that, right? But that doesn't mean that if she doesn't have an established cycle yet, and now she's beginning a new vestadilug of 15 of one month, 16 of the other, etc., then Shmuel can still say that you need three intervals. Whereas Rav is going to say, whereas Rav would say you don't need three intervals, you only need three readings.
That's only the case if the previous one was established.
That's what we're saying.
No.
So we're saying if the previous one was established, everybody is going to agree you only need three. to be oiku. You don't need four. So if she had an established one, the 15th of every month, then once she has 16th of 1 month, 17th of the second, 18th of the third, that's it. No more vest kavua. No, well, not no more vest kavua. No more vest kavua on the 15th. Now she has no more vest kavua on the 15th. So you're still going to have, actually, Rav is going to hold that at this point she has a new vest hadilu. Now, the following month, the you have 16, 17, 18 she had so far. So now, the following month, the 19th, Rav is going to say she already has a vest kavua for the 19th. Shmuel is going to say that no, in this case, because yes, she uprooted her old vest of the 15th, but she hasn't yet been kaveya a new one because you need 3 intervals. And here, actually, no, in this case, you have 3 intervals from the 15th to the 16th, 16th to the 17th. That's fine, but you still started with she had an established one on the 15th before. So when the 16th came, it wasn't it was the beginning of a new pattern.
If the 15th had been uprooted, so has the interval.
No, because the fact of the matter is she had previously on the 15th, and then 1 month she had 16th, and 1 month 17th, and so forth. So then you still have an interval from the 15th to the 16th. You have an interval from the 16th to the 17th.
You say the date of uprooted and not the...
Because now you're saying, up until now, she had a chazaka that she's going to bleed on the 15th. Now she has a new chazaka that she's going to bleed 1 month and 1 day later than the previous one.
The 15th.
So now, well, so she went from 15 to 16, from 16 to 17, from 17 to 18. Now, the next month, we have 18 to 19, so that's a vest kavua. So it's called vest hadilu, yes. Okay. Mason, the Gemara says, okay, I have another contradiction on Shmuel. We learn in a braisa, Rosayim Eshim Ve'echa B'chodesh Zeh, suppose she had a re'iyah on the 21st of 1 month, Yom Eshim Ve'shnayim B'chodesh Zeh, then the 22nd of the next month, Yom Eshim Ve'shloshim B'chodesh Zeh, and the 23rd of the third month, Kabbalah of vest. Then, okay, that creates a vest kavua, 21, 22, 23. But if she delays to the 24th, so in other words, she has 21, 22, 24, then vest, that doesn't establish a vest because you don't have a pattern over there. You have 21, 22, and 24. But the question is, to Shmuel, isn't that a contradiction to Shmuel? According to Shmuel, 21, 22, and 23 is not enough. You need also 24. Because according to him, you need 3 intervals. And here we only have 23. That's it. 21, 22, 23. I don't know. We have 2 cases. 21, 22, 23, we say, is a vest kavua.
Right.
21, 22, 24 is not.
Right.
Come on. 21, 22, 24 not being a vest kavua, that's no problem. Shmuel can agree with that because there's no pattern at all. But if you have 21, 22, and 23, why, according to Shmuel, is that enough to make a vest kavua? Shouldn't you need 24 as well? The answer is Amalach Shmuel, Hacha, Maya Sinan. Shmuel will tell you the case that Braita is talking about, when the Gila Lamechti Bien Estrim, is, like we said, similarly with the previous Braita, that she regularly, up until now, had her Re'ias on the 20th. The Shinsa, the Estrim Re'echad, and then the first time, she started altering that pattern and going to the 21st. And now you have, like we said before, you have, previously it was always the 20th. Now, 1 month is the 21st, the next month the 22nd, the next month the 23rd. Good, you have 3 intervals, 20 to 21, 21 to 22, 22 to 23. Shmuel said, we said before, that Shmuel will agree in that case that's considered a vest kavua. Well, in other words, not we keep the old interval, but in other words, the 20th still has significance. It doesn't have significance as that she's also on the 20th anymore, because it was uprooted 3 times. But it has significance at the beginning of a series of intervals, right?
It doesn't make sense to
me. No, but it does, because now she has a chazaka. She's not going to bleed on the 20th anymore. But she still has. The fact is,
she doesn't bleed on the 20th. How can we count an interval from the 20th?
Because the fact of the matter is, she had, in a previous month, she had an interval from the 20th to the 21st. No. The uprooted in that from now on, she's not going to be on the 20th. But it's still the beginning of an interval. Most is actually Deka Nami. Yeah, in fact, you can see that from the wording of the Braisa. The Shakin and Liam Estrim, the Nakat Liam Estrim Bechot. Because after all, why does the Braisa ignore the 20th? After all, the Braisa usually try to use the briefest possible language. So it would have been shorter to start saying that she starts with 20 and then next month 21 and then 22. Instead, it starts with 21, which is more wordy. So therefore, Shmamina, the Nakat Liam Estrim Bechot, it taps on specifically the 21st. Shmamina, that that we have to be talking about, the Braisa is implying that previously she had a pattern of always the 20th, and now she started a vest.
Basically, we're saying we keep the interval.
What we're saying is, right, exactly. Exactly. What we're saying is the previous date, the last time the previous date happened, the 20th, for example, counts as the beginning of a new series of intervals.
Okay.
Yeah. And therefore, if you have it, it will be considered. Now, who is the halacha like? Usually, when we have Rav against Shmuel and Dinei Issa v'Heter, usually the halacha is like Rav. And there are some Rishonim who pass them like Rav. However, the majority say that the halacha is like Shmuel, in this case, mainly on the grounds that we just said that the last Bryce that we quoted said that it worked, the wording of it works better according to Shmuel, because according to Rav, why is it 21, 22, 23? It should have been 20, 21, 22. So therefore, that implies that the Bryce supports Shmuel more than it does Rav, and therefore the halacha can be the same. So the majority of hosts can pass them like that, that when it comes to a vest had dilug, as it's called,
a jumping
vest where it jumps one day or whatever, from one month to the next, then yes, you need four times, you need three intervals to establish it. As opposed to other kinds of vests that don't necessarily involve intervals, those three times is enough. So let's say she has that three times in a row, she has it, let's say, on the 15th of the month, that's enough to establish a vest based on it's called a vest achodesh. That is, every time now she has a chazaka. That's on a date, I'm saying. So there's a difference between a vest achodesh versus a vest adilug, as we're talking about over here.
Would be the interval.
And also, actually, you have, for example, we have to stop now because we have to go down. But for example, you also have, let's say, you can have, there's also something called, there's a lot of different kinds of vests. There's a long simon in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodeh, a simon Kufay Tef, talks about all kinds of permutations, and combinations, and whatever, of different kinds of vests. Anyway, another kind of vest kavua is called vest haflaga, where, again, you have a certain interval of days, a certain actual fixed interval of days between one re'iyah and the next. Again, according to most posting from the beginning of one to the beginning of the next, according to the alphabet from the end of one to the beginning of the next, they are also three times as enough. When do you need three intervals? So when do you need three intervals? When do you need three intervals is that's the one we're talking about over here, where the actual length of the interval itself is changing from one time to the next. Because you have the 15th of one month and the 16th of the second month and so forth. But if you had, for example, that let's say every time, if the intervals between one re'iyah and the next are fixed, then everybody would agree that you only need three times to establish three intervals, actually, yeah. I mean, it comes out 4 years, but then you need three intervals, and then that establishes a year.
Presuming they have to be fixed.
Well, assuming that they're the same length. If they're not the same length, then you don't have a pattern anyway. Then if they're not the same length, you don't have a pattern anyway.